New York now, where events in the Middle East have dominated much of the build-up to the United Nations General Assembly. The Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, who are attending the Assembly, have joined other world leaders in expressing concern about the worsening situation in Lebanon following a deadly day of Israeli airstrikes in the country. For more, we've been talking with our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan.
Well, the outburst of violence in Lebanon has dismayed everybody, really, who's turning up here in New York, starting, of course, with Joe Biden later today. I mean, he has been trying to bring about a peace settlement in the Middle East for the past year. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the first anniversary of that October 7th attack on Israel that has sparked the most recent round of violence in that region. And Biden, whilst being the chief weapons supplier and staunch political supporter of the state of Israel, has also been working intensively to try and bring about a peace settlement. But now he's seeing that, which might have been one of his legacy moves, slipping further and further out of his grasp. He's only got 4 months left to run in his presidency. He wanted to try and get a deal done. But what we've seen in Lebanon over the past week has moved him further and further away from that objective. And it leaves him in a very difficult position and potentially leaves US domestic politics also in a difficult position coming into to the election here. But of course, other countries as well are very concerned about the whole situation. We have all of the European Union leaders are here, of course, their foreign ministers as well, holding a meeting this evening, and also going on to have a meeting with the American Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, to share information and talk tactics and strategy about what they can do in a combined way to try and damp down the situation in the Middle East. And also, of course, talking about Ukraine. So they've got many fires burning in the world at the moment that are putting pressure on many people. And of course, all of the other world leading politicians who are turning up here are all coming along with their own regional conflicts as well. Places like Sudan just not getting a look in at the moment.
On the Middle East, what can a meeting at the Assembly realistically do?
Nothing. I mean, we all know that. This UN body cannot order people to stop fighting. Its mightiest member, the United States, cannot order people to stop fighting. If two countries or two factions within a country want to fight, they're going to fight. And it's very, very hard to stop them because other people really don't want to put their own troops in harm's way. And even if they did, there's no guarantee that they'd be able to stop fighting, particularly when you're dealing with a very, very well-armed and well-motivated country like Israel and its regional enemies, again, well-armed and extremely well-motivated in the case of Hezbollah and Hamas.
Is Benjamin Netanyahu likely to attend?
He has said he's going to attend. He has postponed it. He was due to come in today, Tuesday, and speak on Wednesday. That's been pushed back by 2 days. We now believe he's going to come in on Thursday and speak on Friday. At least that's the publicly announced plan. But we'll have to wait and see. It depends on events. His Lebanese counterpart, who's the acting prime minister of Lebanon, has said the situation is so grave he can't possibly leave the country.
You said that there's pressure on Joe Biden, who's this is his last UN General Assembly, to deliver some kind of breakthrough in Middle East negotiations. But realistically, in the 4 months that he's left, the expectations can't be very high, can they?
No. And I think they're getting lower all the time, not because of want of effort on the part of the Americans. They have been putting enormous pressure on the Israelis, but they're getting consistent pushback. And the talks between the two leaders there, Netanyahu and Biden, have become fewer and fewer. I mean, we think back a year, Biden travelled to Jerusalem within days of the Hamas attack on Israel, had lots of almost daily contacts with the government there, but they became fewer and fewer over time. There was a huge row between himself and Netanyahu last Christmas, and they haven't spoken very much since. You know, it looks bad for Biden because he now looks increasingly like the weaker party in this, which is an extraordinary turn of events when you consider the relative powers of the United States and a small country like Israel.
At a big meeting of big world leaders like this, who will be notable by their absence?
President Putin, of course, will be noticeable by his absence. He's reluctant to travel to anywhere that isn't a friendly country. I mean, I'm assuming he would have diplomatic cover from any war crime indictments. travelling to the United Nations, but I don't think he's prepared to take that chance.
And that was Sean Whelan speaking to us earlier on the UN General Assembly. President Michael D. Higgins was in New York at that assembly, where he stood over his comments, where he suggested that the Israeli embassy had circulated his letter to the newly elected president of Iran. Our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham, is with us. Paul, the controversy over this letter, it's still in a lot of today's papers. Where does it stand now?
I think it's basically stuck, I think, to a certain extent, where this is a row which is going to fizzle out, but the gulf between the Irish government and the Israeli government is as stark and as large as ever. I mean, certainly Michael D. Higgins, the president, wants to draw a line under this, while at the same time saying he'd no regrets about what he said. I mean, his point of view is that he sent a formal diplomatic letter to the incoming Iranian president last July, something he does regularly to heads of state, and in it he stressed about the urgency of peace in the Middle East. Now, his central charge was that the Israeli embassy had circulated, as you say, his letter, not leaked it, but circulated, and suggested that he should have been condemning Iran's malign actions in funding Hamas in Gaza and funding Hezbollah in Lebanon. But the president's view is that, and that was sort of an improper interpretation of the letter, which was just a diplomatic formality. But the charge certainly rankled the embassy of Israel. It said his claim was baseless and inflammatory. And then we got another round of it last night, in which the Israeli embassy released a statement and broadened its critique, saying it finds the positions being adopted by the Irish government to be unfriendly and not in the spirit of bilateral cooperation. It also contended that there's been a troubling rise in anti-Israeli discourse in Ireland, which is often mutated into anti-Semitism and the delegitimization of Israel. So if you take that all together, you've got a row with the president in Israel, but I think that's about to fizzle out because neither side is going to comment anymore. But the gulf separating the Irish and Israeli governments is now in sharp relief and as big as ever. Because if you remember, Israel withdrew its ambassador last May after Ireland recognised the Palestinian state, and there's zero sign of any rapprochement. And judging from the Israeli embassy, you know, what it said last night, but also the tone taken by Taoiseach Simon Harris in New York just yesterday, where he said the president's letter, as in Michael D. Higgins' letter, isn't what we should be focusing on, but the ongoing disaster in Gaza, where thousands of children are dead, thousands more are missing, presumed dead, as a direct result of Israel's ongoing war. So I think what we can say is that that diplomatic row is over, but relationships between Ireland and Israel are in the deep freeze.
Back home, those comments that were made by the Taoiseach linking immigration and homelessness, backed up now by the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien. Remind us what this is all about.
Yes, Simon Harris and the Taoiseach faced opposition criticism after comments he made suggesting that immigration levels are having a real impact on homeless numbers. And the opposition parties were saying, hold on a second, you have to be very clear that asylum seekers have no right to claim housing supports, and the housing assistance payment isn't available to them Ireland and, either, and they're not able to access homeless accommodation. So they were basically saying this is not right. Now, the Taoiseach doubled down on his statement in New York, and then yesterday we had the housing minister, and he came out and said that immigration is a factor in the relation to contributing to the number of homeless people in emergency accommodation. And what he did was explain it, that he said we've seen an increase in the last 3 months, particularly in relation to singles, once they leave direct provision, then the single biggest reason they enter state emergency accommodation is that, because they can't find a place to stay. So it's not that people seeking asylum, people seeking international protection are using homeless facilities. It's that once they've finished that, they're entitled to the rights of everyone else, and that means it's increasing the numbers. So the Minister for Housing is backing up Simon Harris, but I guess that's something we should expect.
Paul, thank you. That's our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. We'll be talking about Sally Rooney next.